our comedians to Radar and James Elliott in the, I was going to say in the Tamaki Makaurau studio, but sorry, they're with us virtually.
Well, from our own studios. And it's really, it's kind of disconcerting because James and I are looking at each other on Zoom, but it's like a mirror. Like literally we are in the same coloured T-shirt. We have the same hair, the same kind of greying chin beards. Short hair. It's like if James wants a doppelganger, I'm free. I'm available.
Only thing is, I don't have a stuffed animal on the shelf behind me. Like, right?
Oh, that's a little lamb. That was actually a lamb. I've got a little lamb that was given to Sir Robert Muldoon by the young farmers, and I found it. It's had one of its ears chewed off, probably by Sir Robert Muldoon, and it's on. It's this very heavy plinth. I actually met the guy who presented it to Muldoon. So it's a little slice of stuffed New Zealand history.
That is classic Kiwiana right there.
Marvellous. I'll tell you what classic Kiwiana is this week. Like, everyone needs a hero, like a Robin Hood figure in a lockdown. And I don't know their names. I hope that the marketing department from KFC has found out who they are and hired them as influencers or brand ambassadors. But the two guys arrested on a gravel road with a boot full of KFC and 100 grand and a lot of empty ounce bags, which may well have precipitated the purchase of quite a lot of KFC.
And you just knew the story would go global, just waiting for somebody to comment from overseas, and sure enough that happened. But I think there's the bit of science behind this, because to do with takeaways and delivery, it's all about having the thermal mass of the product. If the thermal mass and the ability to keep the product warm isn't sufficient, then it's no good for delivery. So I reckon that influences the choice of, say, KFC as opposed to anything that's burger-based.
Are you moonlighting as like a delivery person? Have you sat around the house trying to construct things to keep fast food hot to go and have a little side hustle?
I am the lord of the burger rings. That is me.
The burger rings need to be kept hot. Well, are they crunchy or crispy?
Crunchy or crispy, that's been the other huge debate this week. I found this fascinating article from an Epicurean writer on epicurious.com. Her name is Maggie Hennessy. And she's
I was just going to say, so listeners can tell that James is still deeply, deeply in level 3.
Exactly. I've been reading about how people write about food as well as thermal mass. But she's done many hundreds of words debating whether or not in menus and like, you should use the word crispy or crunchy, and when you should use one or the other. It's got quite a history, this debate as well, as to whether something's light or basically, I think it comes down to, do you use your incisors on the food and it's crispy, or do you use your molars on the food, in which case it's crunchy?
So I just say crispy, dry, rigid food when bitten with the incisors fractures quickly, easily, and totally, while emitting a relatively loud, high-pitched sound. Probably not dissimilar to what that stuffed lamb emitted. Crunchy, on the other hand, chewed, undergoes a series of fractures while emitting relatively loud, low-pitched sounds. There's a weekend project for everyone to sit around with their partners or their family and try go through the cupboard and figure out if what you were eating is crispy or crunchy.
Crispy or crunchy. And one thing, just bear in mind, is I love the language behind this, being a bit of a word nerd. They said the word crunchy comes from 17th century English, from the word crunch, with an A spelt with an A, which is an imitating sound, whereas crisp comes from Latin, crispus, meaning wrinkled or rippled.
So what would a pie, what would a good service station pie crust be? That would be, there would be a little bit of crispiness on the top pastry, hopefully, and then a bit of crunch on the kind of rim.
Yeah, not hopefully not too much crunch with the filling.
No. And again, you know, another hero this week, Mangere Bridgman. He was already on 24-hour home detention, but he slipped out for a pie. I'm wondering if there was to be a survey at the moment as to whether or not people fit, you know, because home detention is always people sort of poo-poo the idea. I wonder if public attitudes to home detention as a punishment have changed, given the kind of amount of home detention we've all been under.
Yeah, absolutely. Please don't send me home. Please don't send me home. I'd rather go somewhere else. This guy is in trouble for going to... He got himself a pie from a BP station, and he's facing a penalty of $4,000. I think, well, what's the sentence you should get for illegally having a pie? And I think that should be 3.145926 months. What do you think?
Could well be. Hey, look, what I enjoyed was, I don't know if you've ever encountered Judge Harvey in your your travels at the law bench there, James. Judge Harvey, you know, sometimes it is that thing where you read a judge's comments and you go, what world are you living in? So Judge Harvey really loves lockdown, but cannot understand the fascination with takeaway food. But he did make the very good suggestion next time, probably if you are on home detention and you do want a pie, Uber Eats. Or James Elliott is clearly available for delivering hot pies.
Don't forget Judge Harvey, New Zealand's mastermind in 1980 and winner of International Mastermind in 1981.
What was his specialist topic?
It was Lord of the Rings. It was Lord of the Rings, I believe, for both.
James, have you got a PhD in general knowledge over lockdown?
In arcane No, I'm sure Judge Harvey would be pleased that I remembered that about him, because that's the one thing that most people know about him when they start their conversations with him. And he very, very politely goes back over it, while I'm sure he's completely bored of everybody referencing it. Yeah. But can I just reference one creep? This is a creepy story from the week. I think it's creepy. Some people think it's funny. So this guy in England notices that there's a wire, random wire, coming out of a house on a wall in the house he's just bought. Reckons there must be something behind it. So he takes the hammer to it. And behind, in this cavity in the house, there's a creepy doll with a note on it. And the note on the doll says, "Thank you for freeing me. My name is Emily. My original owners lived in this house in 1961. I didn't like them, so they had to go. All they did was sing and be merry. It was sickening. Stabbing was my choice of death for them, so I hope you have knives. Sleep well." I wouldn't be living in a house where that was hiding behind a cavity. My job is living with a half-eaten sheep behind him, so...
It's nibbled. The ear's been nibbled. Look, and people suggested that he, you know, sells the house. And actually, I don't know what their property market's like, but if you do suddenly discover something in a house you don't like, just flick it, you know, make a little bit of capital gain and move on. But if anyone is doing home renovation, may I strongly suggest behind walls is a really good place just to get rid of stuff. Stuff that you don't want. And there's no shortage of, you know, particularly from the States, you know, people open up cabinets, particularly. You used to have the little things that you dropped your razor blades down, apparently. And inside those is all manner of things. Nonetheless,
well, it's absolutely on point, because we've just had our hot water cylinder decided to die under level 3. I've just had the plumber this morning. And he said, "Oh, no, that's a terrible place to put the, to have a cylinder. We're not going to replace it. We're going to put it somewhere else. We're just going to wall that up. Just wall it up." So I think maybe I can get rid of a few other items whilst we're walling up the cylinder, in case anyone wants to find it in the future.
You could run like a kind of, because I've only just got a skip. I've got a skip coming today, but you don't need that. You can just basically stick stuff that you don't really care about behind there and leave it to somebody else at some point in the future. You've got a little doll that you don't, you know, scary doll, write a note. Yeah,
no, I'm on the team that says that dolls can be scary, clowns can be scary. Just, no, not happy with them. I know you've got a skull behind you. You've got one side.
I've got a skull as well.
You've got a skull in a glass cage.
What, oh, yeah, I'm really living the lockdown dream as well. I haven't been doing a lot of baking, but a big shout out to the woman who turned basically a Bunnings sausage into a cake. And I'm just trying to find her name, actually, because it was one of those things where you read it and you think that is the most Melbourne thing I've ever heard. I've underlined it, but now I can't find it.
This is the one where Bunnings, with their real sausages, they had a health and safety issue some years ago. Some guys fell over.
Yes, they did, actually. Yes, and so Bunnings issued a rule where the onion must go, and this is a polarising thing, the onion must go underneath the sausage. That's a rule. That's the Bunnings sausage law. I don't know whether Mitre 10 or Placemakers have adopted such a thing. Even the thought of a sizzled sausage. Everyone's wanting their KFC or McDonald's. I just want to go somewhere where someone could give me a badly cooked sausage with a bit of sauce and some gently sautéed onions on a bit of bread with margarine. That's all I want. Is that too much to ask?
Story. I've researched it because, you know, level 3, nothing better to do. The Bunnings snag, the Bunnings sausage, was actually referenced in a press conference between Jacinda Ardern and Scott Morrison in November 2018. But don't go and look up the term slippery onions on Google.
No, don't be. I don't know whose dog squawked before, but someone's Doberman's barking loudly at it. So... we're connecting people and we're connecting canines, but we're going to let you go now. Lovely to talk, guys. Thanks for your time. To Radar and James Elliott.